The scripture reading today is 1 Corinthians 16, verses 1 to 11. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I directed the churches of Galatia, so do you also. On the first day of every week, each one of you is to put aside and save, as he may prosper, so that no collections be made when I come. When I arrive, whomever you may approve, I will send them with letters to carry your gift to Jerusalem. And if it is fitting for me to go also, they will go with me. But I will come to you after I go through Macedonia, for I am going through Macedonia. And perhaps I will stay with you, or even spend the winter, so that you may send me on my way wherever I may go. For I do not wish to see you now, just in passing, for I hope to remain with you for some time, if the Lord permits. But I will remain in Ephesus until Pentecost, for a wide door for effective service has been opened to me, and there are many adversaries. Now if Timothy comes, see that he is with you without cause to be afraid, for he is doing the Lord's work, as I also am. So let no one despise him, but send him on his way in peace, so that he may come to me, for I expect him with the brethren.
Let's pray. So again, Father, thank you for your presence here with us. Thank you for your word and just for teaching us and leading us. We pray for this time that we have here. I pray that this would be fruitful, that it would be helpful. The message here, the words that come from my mouth, Father, would be exactly what you want me to say and would be beneficial to all of us who are here together. So speak, Father, we just please give us ears to hear, and I pray that we would follow through and do the things that you command us to do. If we pray it all in Jesus' name, amen. As we jump into chapter 16 here of 1 Corinthians, you can see that we're just about to the end of the book. Next Sunday will be the last message from the book of 1 Corinthians. If everything goes as planned. So we've made it through. And so as we get to chapter 16, we have this one final kind of transition, I guess. Like throughout the book, we've seen from time to time, and I think I've highlighted them as we've gone, you've seen these transitions as Paul has moved from one theme to the next to the next. I mean, there's this common thread through all of it, but he does move to these different matters that he needs to address. And so here we get to 16, and he does this one final transition, and he starts to kind of wind things down in his lengthy letter. He gets to some of these, I guess we could call them housekeeping items, right? I've entitled the sermon Housekeeping, and I wanted to kind of speak to this a little bit, because I think our tendency might be, not necessarily, but it could be, to gloss over some of these things, right? We've just gone through like this deep and helpful and theological teaching on the resurrection of Jesus and the resurrection of the saints, those who are in Christ, our future resurrection from the dead. And we've worked through all that, and there's been all these matters that of the church that Paul has addressed. It could seem, you know, kind of natural, I guess, to see these things as a little bit anticlimactic, right? That he's talking about a collection for the church in Jerusalem. He's talking about his travel plans and things like that. Like, this is probably isn't really for me. This is more like part of the letter. It's good that it's there, but not really a lot there for me. But I think if we do that, that would be a mistake, for one thing. And we'd be robbing ourselves of some really helpful insight into the church. And that's kind of been the theme as we've worked through 1 Corinthians, because it's a letter to a church that was in some level of crisis, right? They were at a lot of unhealth going on there. And through that, we've seen some really good instruction to how the church is to function and how we are to conduct ourselves, the unity that we ought to strive for and the ways that we should move forward. And the same is true here, Right? The words that he says here, these items that we might think, wow, this was really specific to them, are applicable to us. Housekeeping, just that term can kind of seem mundane. Well, this isn't really anything important. But it's, you know, if you think about it, it's keeping the house in order, right? It's keeping this house, the church, not the building, but the church, us, keeping us in order, keeping us following God, following after Him. And so let's not, when we get to these parts of not only 1 Corinthians, but other letters too, when he starts to wind down, he starts to talk about, well, give my greetings to so-and-so and this. Don't just gloss over that. Look for ways that God is speaking to you and to us as his people, his gathered people. We are a church, just like the Corinthians were a church, and we can hear these words and benefit from them. So I want to work through this text And yeah, I've kind of given a little bit of teasing, but a lot of the things that we've looked at today with Sabrina sharing and about this mission trip and praying for that and the video on generosity and some of the songs that we've sung too, it just really flows into some of these things. And what I see here are characteristics of the church, or what ought to be characteristics of the church. So these things, and I'm going to do a little bit of alliteration to help remember these things, but these characteristics ought to be present amongst God's people, God's gathered people. And so I've got three S words to give, and they are sharing, serving, and staying. Okay, so those are going to be the three headings, the three themes that we're going to look at, and that's pretty much going to be it. So sharing. And there's a couple levels to this, I guess I'll say. So the first one is obviously sharing of finances and resources, right? Paul was calling on the church in Corinth to take an offering, to take a love offering. That was to go to the church in Jerusalem. The church in Jerusalem had apparently fallen onto some difficult times. Things were tight a little bit financially for them. So the churches in that area were being called upon to surround that church or come alongside that church and give them some support, give them some very practical financial support with resources and money and those kinds of things, right? He calls them to take this offering on the first day, which is kind of suggesting that that's the day they were meeting anyway, right? Like we do, right? We meet on Sunday. They began to meet on that day. Basically, that was the day the Lord had risen, right? Jesus had risen from the dead on the first day. So that became kind of the customary day to gather as God's people. And so naturally, Paul said, hey, when you gather on the first day, take this collection. This is what we're going to do. We're going to help this church out. We're going to come alongside them. We're going to send resources to them. And he was calling upon not only the church in Corinth, but these other churches in Galatia to give support to the church in Jerusalem. And right, like it's not hard to see the connection here that we as God's gathered people are called upon to share, right? To share the wealth, as it were, to share the resources that we may have. We have so many opportunities. And this can mean individually, right, for each of you and myself, us as families, and corporately as a community of faith in Jesus Christ, right? We give to the needs around us, right? We are in a position where we collect offerings, we collect tithes and offerings, and that's not just to keep the thing running, right? It's not, I mean, those are things we got to keep the lights on and that kind of stuff. But more than that, we need to be about supporting God's work in other parts of the world. Being about God's work, for sure, but also supporting that work as it's going on, right? And that's why we pray for Sabrina and want to send her with our prayers and support in those ways, right, as she goes. And other people as well, right? We support missionaries. We have missionaries that we support financially. And we are a part of what they're doing by our giving. We have opportunities around us. We have sister churches that we can support, that we can help in various ways, right? There's a church in Fox Creek, an E-Free church in Fox Creek, one in Onaway, right? We have the church in Coronation who have just lost their building. So there are these opportunities where maybe us in White Court here are in a very interesting position where we can be of help to other churches and to other believers in very practical ways. So let's hear these words. Like, Paul is being very practical here, saying, take this collection. This is going to Jerusalem. This is going to the church there. This is what we're going to do. Now, I want to push this a little further there, this whole idea of sharing, and remind us that it's more than about sharing money, right? Paul was not interested in them just getting a bag of coins or whatever and shipping it off to Jerusalem. That wasn't the idea, and that should never be the idea with us as well. So listen to what he says here in a couple of verses. He says in verses 3 and 4, "And when I arrive, I will send those whom you accredit by letter to carry your gift to Jerusalem. If it seems advisable that I should go also, they will accompany me." Right? Paul was not interested, nor should they have been interested, in just sending money off to Jerusalem and never giving them a second thought. Right? He wanted them to deliver it personally. Right? They weren't just sharing resources, they weren't just sharing money, they were sharing themselves. They were sharing their effort, their time, their energy, their very presence with that church in Jerusalem. And that's such an important element to sharing. Right? Let's never just stop at sharing the money, the resources, whatever. That's the easy part, right? That's the very surface part. Sure, yeah, God uses those things, and that's all. It's encouraging, right, when someone receives that kind of thing. But how much more so when it's personal? Right, when someone is a part of that, when there's a face or a hand that's on the other end of the gift, that is what really happens. And so, as we think about that, as we think of sharing, right, and like take our missionaries for instance, and as a missions committee, we've been really working at this and trying to get better at this and grow in this, and that with our missionaries that we support, we're not just sending money. But we are invested in their ministry. We learn about them. We learn about what's going on in the regions where they are serving. We learn about the things that they are dealing with, these missionaries and their families. We want to be a part of what they're doing more than just giving money, right? We want to be a part of it in our presence, in our just our energy, our efforts, and all those kinds of things. So, now, that's not to say for sure that we have to go to Africa to be with the Sawatskis or the Gilmores, or that we our presence can be very important, right? To especially those who are closer by, right? To the camp, to Ross Haven, we can encourage them through our presence, through being there personally with them. So let's remember these ways in which we can share. Paul was encouraging the church there to share their resources and themselves. And we, in turn, are being encouraged and challenged to share in those ways as well. Think and pray about opportunities where you can share in these ways and where we as a church can share in these ways. And I know as a lead team, as elders, and as a pastor, we're always thinking of things like that, but I know I'm not perfect, so we need communication in those areas as well. So sharing being that first S word, and then the second one is serving. Serving. And Paul uses the word help here in the ESV translation, I think, as Lena was reading. I don't know that the word help appeared there, but the sense was there as Paul was talking about needing to come to Corinth and receive from them, and receive help from them, receive be served by them, right? And he was going to serve them. Make no mistake about that. Paul was serving the church when he traveled, and his plans were to travel to Corinth at some point, right? He wanted to spend the winter there. He was going to go there and serve that church. And part of his idea, too, was that they would help him along his way. And then he also talks about Timothy. It seems that Timothy was going to end up in Corinth at some time as well. And listen to what Paul says about that visit. So this is verses 10 and 11. When Timothy comes, see that you put him at ease among you, for he is doing the work of the Lord as I am. So let no one despise him. Help him on his way in peace, that he may return to me, for I am expecting him with brothers. So Now we see this idea of serving each other, right? Paul was serving the church. Timothy was going to come and serve the church. Not just the church in Corinth, but they were serving churches as they went and as they traveled and visited different areas and visited different churches. And in turn, the church was going to serve them as they were able. And part of that was the sharing of resources, right? They were going to provide for their travel needs and things like that. A lot of that was serving them and just being there with them and serving with them, serving in the work that God was doing, right? Doing the teaching, doing the work of the ministry. And so, brothers and sisters, as we're called to serve each other. Being a servant is a high calling. And we can serve each other, we can help each other by, again, we can start very surface, which doesn't make it not important, right? But it's surface, right? We can help by doing things like helping someone move or watching the kids or, you know, those kinds of things. But it ought to go deeper, right? Where we serve each other by helping each other in our walk with Christ, right? We serve when we go to a brother or sister and we pray for them, or we encourage them, or maybe we have a word of scripture to share with someone. This is serving each other. This is how we help each other in our journey, in our walk with Christ Jesus. And then we serve together. We serve side by side. We serve in the ministries of the church, right? We serve by going to the Dominican Republic or by coming to Awana on Wednesday night or youth group on Friday night or whatever the work might be, like the carnival. We serve side by side, doing this work of the ministry together. And you know, if you've been a part of any of these, you know how encouraging it is to go with other believers and to do the work of Christ, to share the gospel, to be witnesses for Jesus, and to do this with your brothers and sisters. It is so encouraging and just so uplifting to see that happening and be a part of that happening. And so as a church, we need to be about that sharing that I talked about earlier, but we need to be about serving. And that means serving, again, serving each other in very basic practical ways, and serving each other in deeper ways as well, as we assist each other in our walks with Christ, and then reaching out, right? We often talk as a church about not being too inward focused, but being outward focused. And certainly there needs to be an inward focused where we're, you know, and that's a lot what Paul has been getting at with the letter to the Corinthians, right? Look, take care of your business, right? You guys, get things in order in your church. Be healthy. Be unified. Don't be such a mess. Like, you know, get in line with God's word. Get in line with the teachings of his word. And so, yeah, there needs to be that inner focus, but it's got to go out, right? We've got to be serving. We've got to be serving in this world and going and making disciples. So, yeah, that serving is such an important element and such an important characteristic to the church and who we ought to be as we serve together. So, sharing, serving, and the final S word that I want to give is the word staying. Staying. And I want to just read what Paul says here in this regard in verses... starting at verse 5 anyway, I'll just read a few verses here. I will visit you after passing through Macedonia, for I intend to pass through Macedonia, and perhaps I will stay with you, or even spend the winter, so that you may help me on my journey wherever I go. And there's that part about helping him, serving him. For I do not want to see you now just in passing. I hope to spend some time with you, if the Lord permits. But I will stay in Ephesus until Pentecost, for a wide door for effective work has opened to me, and there are many adversaries. So as we talked about quite a while ago, that Paul was writing this letter from Ephesus, right? That's where he was. His intention, of course, as he says here, was to make his way to Corinth and spend some time with them and some quality time. And this is where the idea of staying comes in. We talked about sharing, we talked about serving, and I want to talk for a little bit about staying. Paul wanted to go to Corinth and spend some time there. He didn't just want to blaze through on his way to somewhere else, but he wanted to spend some time. He didn't want to see them in passing only, but to stay with them. There's this sense of I mean, we are in a busy world, right? This world, this culture is a busy one, and it's not hard to get caught up in it. And I know I've been guilty of it, and perhaps you have too. But you know, I get this sense as I read that of just this kind of peaceful meandering, in a sense. Like, how, you know, how Jesus worked his way through his ministry. He never seemed to be in a rush to get anywhere. Even when Lazarus had died and Jesus took 4 days to get there, he just wasn't in a hurry. He wasn't in a hurry. He was interested in staying with people and spending time with people. Let's let that be a characteristic of us as a church, where we are willing to stay a little bit, right? And it doesn't mean just staying at church or whatever, but just that sense where you're not just looking at the next thing, right? When you're in a conversation, you're not thinking about what you need to talk about with somebody else, or when you're visiting with someone, you're not thinking about what you're going to do later on that day, right? But that you're in the moment and you're staying in that moment until the moment passes. Right? And there's this sense where we can minister to each other and we can minister with each other in this very persistent, consistent way as we stay. And so this can apply, I think, to visiting with someone, right? You go for coffee. Yeah, don't be in such a rush to go. Don't be in such a rush to get that person out of your house, right? But you know, like spend some time, right? When we stay, I think real ministry can begin to happen. If our visits are too quick, if our time is too quick, it tends to cut that off a little bit. And so I think this is just a really good and important characteristic of the church, of the believer, that we're not in a hurry to get to the next thing, but that we're willing to spend a little bit of time. As we see that with Paul, that he was willing to, his desire was to stay, right? It's about relationships. He didn't just want to go through, because how can you get to know somebody in just that short amount of time? But the relationships. As a pastor, this has been something that has been important to me, even in my days of youth ministry. And youth ministers, youth pastors, I think, have been, and I don't know now, I don't really look at statistics that much, but they have been notorious for kind of moving on, right, after a year or two of doing a certain ministry. And for whatever reason, they just want to go on to the next thing. And this has been true of pastors as well. But it's just, I don't know. And I'm not trying to accuse anyone or throw shade on anyone, but I just feel like as a minister of the word, as a shepherd to the people, that there needs to be some consistency. There needs to be a presence, a steady presence, and I think that is important. And that's always been important to me, that idea of staying with a congregation. There's another side of the staying, too, that I want to address, and Paul addresses it. When he talks about his desire, or his intention, I should say, and desire, to stay in Ephesus, right? He said, I will stay in Ephesus, verse 8. I will stay in Ephesus until Pentecost, for a wide door for effective work has opened to me, and there are many adversaries. So on the one hand, there was a door for ministry. So Paul wasn't gonna leave too soon, right? He was staying, right? That sense of persistence, of consistency. He was gonna stay. But even through the opposition, and it almost sounds, and I don't want to read too much into it, but it almost sounds like the opposition was kind of encouraging him to stay, right, in a sense. And I don't want to, again, I don't want to read into it too much, because, I mean, at the very least, though, it wasn't pushing him away, right? Whatever opposition was going on that he was facing, it wasn't encouraging him to leave. Right, where that might be our inclination when we're in the work, when we're in a ministry, when we're involved in something, and it seems like everything is against us. Right, there's just no one's listening, no one seems to be getting anything out of this Bible study or this class that I'm teaching. It seems like it's just always chaos. It just seems so much opposition. Maybe I should move on to the next thing. Right, that can way too easily be our inclination, our kind of impulse reaction to it. Let's not be so quick to move on,
Right? When opposition comes, that isn't necessarily our key to, you know, get out of Dodge in a sense, right? But maybe that's the time when we really need to press in and have that perseverance that we read about so much in Scripture, right? How often do we read in the epistles and in Jesus' teaching of endurance and perseverance and long suffering? It's a fruit of the Spirit. Yeah, opposition can be a real thing, and it can be disheartening, and obviously, I mean, you don't stay a place forever, right? As much as I'd like to say the opposite. I won't be here forever. Right? I just won't, for whatever reason or another. And I'm not saying I have plans to leave or anything like that, but there will come a day when I'm no longer the pastor at Hilltop Community Church. And so, yeah, we don't stay forever. So obviously, there is a time to move on. But let's just keep that in mind, that idea of persevering, even through difficulties, even through opposition to our ministry. I mean, why would we ever think that if we're doing the work of the Lord Jesus in this world where the devil prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour, why would we ever think that we shouldn't have any opposition, right? We have an enemy who doesn't like what we're doing. That shouldn't make us afraid, right? Greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. But it also should open us up to the reality that, yeah, we're probably going to get some opposition. We're probably going to get a little bit of resistance from time to time, and that's okay. I mean, I don't welcome it. I don't necessarily like it, but it shouldn't just cause me to run away. So remember that idea of staying, of perseverance and patience and long suffering, and I think, you know, again, we can look at these, gloss over them, and say, yeah, Paul was just giving a little bit of housekeeping details for this church as he closed his letter off. But there's so much value there. There's so much value there as we seek to grow in the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, as we seek to grow together and become more and more like Christ Jesus, the one who is our head, the head of the church, his body. Right? We want to grow in all these ways. And let's seek these characteristics, as I think these are important, the characteristics of being a sharing church, of being a serving church, and being a people who are staying, who are patient, who are long-suffering even when the situation calls for it. And I hope those words are encouraging to you. I hope there's even some challenge there for us to see some of the ways that we can grow in some of these areas. These challenges were for the church in Corinth, but they flow right through time to us as well. These challenges are right from God, his word, to us as his church, as his people. Let's seek to embody these things and be like Christ in these things. Would you pray with me? Gracious God and Heavenly Father, we do give you thanks, as always, Father. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the words of the Apostle Paul as you spoke through him, as you wrote these words through him to this church in Corinth and to us here today, Lord, that we could hear these words and we could be encouraged and challenged and led and built up through them. Father, I pray that we would be a people who are passionate about sharing in all kinds of ways and sharing ourselves even. I pray that we would be all about serving one another, serving you alongside one another, and serving the world. Father, serving others. And Father, I pray that we would know when to stay in a situation, to stay in a conversation, to stay in a ministry. I pray, Father, that you'd give us that perseverance and that kind of long-suffering and patience, even when things maybe aren't going the way that we would like. But Father, please give us discernment in the ways that we ought to stick with things and stay with situations. Thank you, Father, that whatever we do, wherever we go, you are present with us and you are leading us. Thank you for your gospel that is our purpose in this world, the sharing of that gospel, the sharing of you, Lord Jesus, and salvation in your name alone. Help us to be passionate about that. Help us to be energetic with the ministry and the calling that you have for us. I pray that we'd be unified as your people. We'd be encouraged in the purpose and in the just the calling that you have on us. And Father, we pray these things for your name's sake. Amen.